plan here today is we're going to spend about the first 30 minutes talking and giving you some information, and then we'll open up to questions. For the next 30 minutes, we'll start with Rich Mogul, who's an analyst and founder of Securosis, and then Dan Kaminsky, who's director of penetration testing for IOActive. We'll do the bulk of the talking here. We've also got Jerry Dixon on the line, former director of the National, Cybersecurity Division, the DHS. And then Joao Damas, who's the senior program manager of ISC. And Jeff Moss, founder of Black Hat. So with that, I will let Rich take it away. And everyone that's on the call, I'm sending you more information right now as well.
Thanks, Nico, and I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. Basically, I'm just here to go ahead and introduce Dan and do a little level setting about what's going on today. This is a pretty important day. We're seeing basically a massive multi-vendor patch being issued for a very fundamental flaw in DNS, domain name system, which is basically, for those of you that are on the non-technical side, that's the entire addressing scheme for the Internet. It's the kind of a flaw that would allow an attacker to say, attack, go after your ISP, and if somebody dialed in or went to go to google.com, they could redirect them to pretty much any place they wanted. Now, what's really important about today is not just that Dan discovered this vulnerability, but that he was able to work with a very large group of vendors to issue a coordinated patch. And this is the kind of thing that we've never really seen before and really separates this out from a lot of the other kinds of vulnerabilities. So it's a combination of both the severity but also the high degree of coordination and cooperation between a number of different vendors to go ahead and all fix this problem, keep it secret until it was time, and then all release a coordinated patch on the same day. So with that, I'd like to just go ahead and drop it right back over to Dan. Dan, as Nico says, Director of Penetration Testing over at IOActive. He has nearly a decade's experience as a security researcher working with a lot of the Fortune 500. And Dan, with that, it's all yours.
Thank you, Rich. So as Rich mentioned, the DNS is a core element of how the Internet works. Pretty much every system that does connect to the Internet uses DNS in some manner in order to locate other nodes that they wish to communicate with. The Internet works a lot like the telephone system. You don't put a name into the telephone system. You put a name into, you take a name, you get a number out of it, and through like 411 information, and you call that number, and that is what the Internet is. That is what the telephone system can route, and that is what the Internet can route. Approximately 6 months ago, I discovered that there was an issue in DNS. It is something of a fundamental issue based on the design, and this posed something of a problem. Design bugs are interesting in that they don't just constrain themselves to an individual company, an individual implementation. Because the system is behaving exactly like it's supposed to behave, the same bug will show up in vendor after vendor after vendor. And that is actually what I discovered, that this one flaw that I had found, this one issue I had found, actually affected not just Microsoft, not just ISC's bind, not just Cisco, but everybody. Now, I've spent my entire career working with corporate America, working for large customers, and my first concern was, how do I protect my customers? The bug is interesting, and I wish I, on this call, could go ahead and tell you all sorts of crazy, geeky things about how this bug worked, but that is not what we are doing right now. What I can say is that the severity of the bug is shown by the number of people who we've gotten on board to help get this thing fixed. What I did 6 months ago was I've been doing DNS research for a long time. I contacted a lot of the other guys and said, guys, we have a problem. We're going to have to figure out what exactly to do here. And this eventually culminated in a summit. On March 31st, 2008, about 16 researchers from around the world converged on the Microsoft campus. We sat down and we did three things. First, we decided, do we actually understand this problem? Do we understand what is potentially going wrong here? Second, we decided what would be the fix that would most protect the greatest number of customers. And third, when are we going to do this? The third aspect is the most interesting because we agreed, because of the identical nature of the vulnerability in all of our implementations, the only way we could do this is if we did a simultaneous release across all platforms. Now, I'm going to tell you, this hasn't been done before, and this was a rather ambitious undertaking. But it's July 8th, and Microsoft got patches, Cisco's going to have patches, Sun's going to have patches, Bind has patches. This is a pretty astonishing, synchronized, massive multi-vendor patch. I couldn't have done it alone. I had a lot of people who really, really stepped up to show how industry collaboration can actually generate a fix that will protect customers. Now, in terms of the actual deployment of the fix, we've done everything we can, and automatic updating will handle a large number of people that are out there. Our primary focus is on DNS servers because the vulnerability is primarily a server vulnerability. There are scenarios in which not just DNS servers, but all the little clients out there that happen to use DNS, there are scenarios in which those hosts can be vulnerable as well. It's not the focus. They're not universally vulnerable. But there are patches that are out now or may be coming that will handle those clients. But right now, the focus is on the DNS servers. For the servers that will not get these patches automatically, our hope is that because we do not at this time want to go into the deep technical details of this issue, that the synchronized nature of this patch encourages as many IT administrators as possible to evaluate their networks, to locate their name servers, and to remediate them within the next 30 days. Now, in order to protect the machines, now it is a very interesting fix that we selected. This is not a capability we normally have as security engineers. Usually, any fix will immediately document what the core vulnerability was. You look at what changed, and that pretty much is the answer to your question. Because this is a design flaw, we have the advantage that we may not actually need to do that in this case. Because this is a design flaw, we believe that the nature of our fix, which is simply to implement port randomization, we are simply making a certain system, which was already random, a lot more random. Before, we had what we could describe as 16 bits of randomness. Now we're going to have between 27 and 30. This is not actually enough information, we hope, to quickly reverse engineer the flaw. That's not to say that the flaw will not be reverse engineered, and thus in 30 days we are going to document this flaw to a greater degree so that people can build better fingerprints and better protect their network against the actual flaw, as opposed to the fairly minimal amount of information that we are releasing at this time. In order to go ahead and determine if you are vulnerable, I have built a website, or more accurately, I've built a component of my own website that will inform any user if they are using a name server that is vulnerable to this issue. If you go to www.doxpara.com, doxpara.com, you will see a box in the upper right-hand corner called the DNS checker. If you click the button, it will tell you if you are potentially vulnerable. So that is the story of what is going on. The key that I want to leave you guys with is, yes, there is a problem. People should be concerned, but they should not be panicking. Things are well under control. A lot of people have worked very hard to bring them under control, and a lot of people are going to be patched by automatic systems. For the systems that are not automatically patched, we've bought you as much time as possible to go ahead and manually test and go through your change control procedures to deploy the patch. Something of this scale has not yet happened before. It is my hope that for any issue of this scale, especially design issues of this scale, this is the sort of thing that we can do in the future. And with that, I know Rich had a few comments that he wanted to say in response, so I'll pass this over to him.
Thanks, Dan. And again, I just want to reiterate, because we know we have a mix of some both technical and non-technical audience here. What Dan has discovered is a very fundamental issue with how the entire addressing scheme for the internet works. So this means that attackers can do things like make people go from their banks to wherever the attacker wants them. They can take email, they can do whatever else they want. So it's a very, very fundamental flaw, and it's in the actual core protocol itself. So it's not like there's one person out there who can fix this, which is why it's such a coordinated release. This is something that absolutely affects everybody who uses the internet today. It's the kind of thing that most users, assuming they have their automatic patching set, which a lot of Windows users, for example, do, they'll get this as part of their normal fixes. But it's extremely important for the business audience that they get executive attention for this so that the people within the IT departments have the resources they need to go ahead and fix these problems. It is just an absolutely critical issue that can impede the ability of any business to carry out their normal operations. So we talked a lot about the, you know, the technical issues and what this is here. Really, all of the vendors are involved here. You need to make sure that for those of your readers who are on the business side, that they contact their technology providers and work with them to get this fixed.
Thanks, Rich. With that, Jerry, are you on the phone? Jerry Dixon?
Yes.
I was hoping that you could spend the next 5 minutes giving your perspective on this patch and discovery.
Yeah, first I just want to kind of, you know, highlight that, you know, this really shows the value add of independent security researchers and the security research community really bringing value to making the internet more secure, especially in this particular situation. You know, responsible disclosure was used. The vendors were brought in. They were able to create a fix for this, you know, exposure that can affect many of us since DNS is a, you know, essentially a critical infrastructure for the internet to be to function. So, you know, one, you know, Dan, really, you know, happy to see responsible disclosure followed, and really this does help improve the security of the internet. You know, we, you know, from my previous role at DHS, you know, there's often a shortfall in research and development efforts on the government side for this kind of work. And again, that's why I want to highlight the value that the security research community brings to these kind of efforts. So that's, you know, what I'll pretty much leave it at. And also, you know, for those that are reporting or writing stories about this, you know, really, you're a key part of this as well by raising awareness that companies and organizations really need to take advantage of reaching out to their technical vendors or their IT vendors to make sure that they are properly fixed so this doesn't become a problem and affect their end users. And I'll turn it over to Nico.
Joao, would you like to talk now for a few minutes?
Sure. Well, I'd like to start similarly to others by thanking Dan and by following the procedures in such a responsible manner, thanking for the research that he continues to do, discovering these sort of issues that on patch will make everyone safer. This has been kind of a good working environment, working with all other vendors and coordinating for this release. And a good example of internet collaboration. As far as we're concerned, ISC, well, the main thing to mention is that we have the patches out, as Dan mentioned initially. The information that we can disclose right now is already available on ISC's website, so you are welcome to go there, visit it. Bind has a large install base, and we are very concerned about this sort of issue. And so we are trying to reach out to as many people as possible to get them to be aware of the fix and get them installed. And that, of course, includes people who are using older versions of Bind, like Bind 8, which, it being at end of life, will not be patched. To these people, we are helping them out as best we can. For instance, people with large Bind 8 installation bases, such as Yahoo, have already committed to upgrade to Bind 9. And surely, if that sort of installed base can migrate, then it will be feasible for others to do the same. We will also be letting people who have more direct contact with us through support contracts and so on to ride on our own name server infrastructure while they plan for a more paced upgrade. And the last thing I would like to add to this is that we at ISC really hope that this will draw people's attention to the DNS security extension, DNSSEC, which in the end will only be the real solution to these sort of attacks, even if they happen in the future. I think that gives you the idea of what we wanted to say here.
All right, thanks, Joel. Jeff Moss, I'm hoping that you could give us your insight here on what's going on.
Just something briefly from a slightly different perspective, and that's that what Dan's done is really significant for the entire stability of the Internet and takes away a vital tool that I'm sure if a lot of spammers or malicious virus writers knew about, they'd use it to great effect. I mean, it's a fantastic tool for phishing. And this sort of restores my faith a little bit in the researcher community, where there's a lot of incentive nowadays to find bugs like this and sell them to bug finding companies or vulnerability research companies who package them up in a product. And I'm sure, I don't even want to ask Dan how much money he would have gotten for this bug had he decided to sell it, but I'm sure it would have been in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And instead, Dan decided to bring it to light and share it with the world. And, you know, that's a big calculation that's starting to happen with all these vulnerabilities that are found. There's such money involved with them now that it gets a little harder for somebody just to altruist in. So I'm definitely buying Dan a beer.
Very interesting, Jeff. Thanks. Well, Dan, before we open up to questions, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I just think to say I'm going to enjoy the beer with Jeff Moss. I am very pleased to hear that Yahoo is going to migrate their infrastructure off of Bind8. The reality is I do a lot of internet scanning and I see a lot of Bind8 and Bind9 out there. Bind8 is very old, and the important thing to realize is most of the Bind8 that's out there isn't even patched against publicly known flaws. So there's a lot of systems that have just been running and running and running, and no one ever thinks about DNS because, it works. Well, this is the kind of bug where we can't just say, it works anymore. And we're going to have to migrate, and we're going to have to patch a decent number of systems. But I've done everything I can, and I am really looking forward to seeing how the next month plays out.
All right, thanks, Dan. With that, I'll open up to questions. Anyone from the audience?
Hey, Nico, this is Brian Krebs.
Yes, hi, Brian.
Hey, Dan, I wanted to ask you, am I correct in understanding this is a vulnerability in the protocol itself, in the RFC, or could you clarify that a little bit?
This is indeed a vulnerability in the protocol itself. I'm going to step back from actually describing the vulnerability itself. I'm sure you can understand why, but yes, this is a by-design vulnerability, and that is how it was able to be re-implemented in software package after software package.
But you're not aware of anyone actually exploiting this vulnerability today?
There are no signs at present that this vulnerability is being exploited in the field, and I hope to keep it that way.
I have a question.
When are the patches going out?
Patches should be out today for most systems. So Sun should have patches today. Cisco should have patches today. Microsoft already has it out in their Tuesday update. Linux distributions are coming online. There's a lot of things that are coming online today.
If you are a home user and you go to the website you named and see that you're vulnerable, who do you tell?
Right now, I would expect that the ISPs are going to take some time to get this implemented. It was actually a decision for me to determine whether to release this today, the fingerprinter, or in a couple of weeks. The reason I went with today is, honestly, corporate environments sometimes have trouble even finding out what name servers they have, or they know their particular name server, but they don't know about all of them. So it is basically something to communicate with your ISP about, but home users should not panic because the vulnerability is not going to be something that is going to be out today. This is something that every ISP is going to have to look into and is going to have to update them.
Hey, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
This is Sandy Wilborn from Nominum. I think one of the, as being a provider of DNS software to a number of large ISPs, because of your work, we've been able to give notice to some of those in advance, and several of our large customers, such as Comcast, have already deployed a patch in anticipation of this date.
Excellent. That is excellent news.
There's so many vendors that are named here. How do you know, if you're a business, you're going to be getting a bunch of different patches from different, you know, software vendors that you contract with?
A excellent first level estimation is go to the website that's provided, and if it tells you you have a problem, find out what that actual server is. The next step would be to identify all the recursive servers in your infrastructure. To remove the jargon, a recursive name server is a server that takes a name that could be anywhere on the internet and returns its matching IP address. The general rule is, if it recurses, patch it.
Hey, Dan, is this likely to be disruptive in terms of general internet use or corporate use during this patching process?
It shouldn't be. The patch was selected to be as non-disruptive as possible. There will be some particular sites that have, and I apologize for the technical details, but there are going to be some sites that have firewalls in front of their name servers that are attempting to constrain the number of source ports used by the name server. Those firewall rules will have to be lifted in order to address this greater threat. And that, of course, is further change management and further testing. So that is going to be a distinct and very small minority of corporate users, but some corporate environments may be hit by that and may need to be aware.
Dan, how did you find it?
Complete accident. I was looking at something that had nothing to do even with security. And I will tell the tale in 30 days, and you'll see what I meant. But I was not looking for this at all.
Are you calling this by a particular name? Like, but you're calling, you know, we always hear buffer overflow, blah, blah, blah. Are you calling this a specific kind of a flaw?
I will name it when the vulnerability is known. There is a name, and I'm just not calling it anything. So, I mean, right now the focus is not even on the bug. So, I mean, to be honest, interesting bugs happen. A synchronized massive multi-vendor patch, this is something that if I could name one thing I'd want to see happen in our industry again, the kind of things we need to fix web browsers, the kind of things we need to fix a lot of things, the synchronized massive multi-vendor patching events. This is.
Could
this
you
is
repeat
good.
the website that you say is available to check for vulnerability?
Yes, if you go to www.doxpara.com, there's a button in the upper right-hand corner. Press it; it'll tell you if you're vulnerable.
Hey, Dan, Bob McMillan, IDG.
Hey, Bob.
I know you're not releasing all the details of the flaw, but I'm trying to understand how best to explain it. I mean, does it have to do with the fact that the DNS message ID is just 16 bits wide, or how, you know, can you explain as best as you can what the problem is?
So I can say what is going to be easily discoverable, which is that DNS offers a transaction ID. So this is the thing that is supposed to be there on every response, you know, it's a legitimate response. It offers a transaction ID that is one of 65,000 values. Now, last year it came out that the one that was chosen wasn't particularly random, even within one of 65,000. What has been discovered is that for undisclosed reasons, 65,000 itself is just not enough, and we need a source of more randomness. Now, the only place we could go for more randomness in the present infrastructure was SourcePort. And so with a fair amount of difficulty, and I tell you, it was not easy to do this for a lot of people. I actually worked very closely with Microsoft on making this patch happen over here, and let me tell you, it's a lot of work. But it was work that was done by a lot of people.
So it's possible to guess these transaction ID values. When are these used?
They are every query has a transaction ID that is a value right now between 0 and 65,000, and the reply must contain the correct transaction ID. That is before. After the reply must after the patch is applied, the transaction ID must contain the correct transaction ID and must contain the correct source port.
And what's a source port?
A source port is a random identifier at a different layer in the IP packet. So IP is a system for sending small messages from one place to another, and there are various headers or messages. Think of it like the return address on an envelope, various little extra data in addition to the particular message you're sending. Well, there is a if you imagine sending a letter, you might sign your name on the letter itself, but you can also sign your name on the outside of the letter. What we're doing is we're now not just signing our name inside on the actual letter, we're signing it on the envelope as well.
So you found a way for using these transaction IDs for a malicious server to say, I'm the authoritative DNS server for, like, for example, bankofamerica.com. This is where you need to go. I mean, that's essentially what we're talking about here?
I will confirm that an attack of that nature is possible.
Okay, thanks.
Dan, can you just clarify again? This is going to be one singular patch that will go out for all of these vendors? I mean, if you're with Microsoft and Cisco, are you getting patches from each of those?
Since not everyone's even running the same operating system, it would be difficult for it to be a single patch. We have synchronized the time that each individual implementation's patch is coming out, though. So all of the name servers are either patched or in one case or in a couple cases were just not vulnerable in the first place. For example, DJB DNS, Dan Bernstein's DNS server, years and years ago actually implemented port randomization because Dan Bernstein is a massively paranoid programmer. Bernstein protected himself from a vulnerability he didn't even know was there. That's pretty cool.
Hey, Dan, I'm looking at this list of vendors from CERT, and there's a whole bunch on here that say no statement is currently available from the vendor regarding this vulnerability. What does that mean to you? I mean, does it mean that they're not vulnerable or they just didn't respond?
What that means to me is that at the end of the day, we have the core vendors on that list that actually have DNS servers. So what I said earlier was that this is an issue primarily around DNS servers, the things that take a name, go out to the internet, and get a reply. Now, some of those are there simply because they have DNS clients that may be used in particular scenarios. And for some of those, they may have determined that their particular exposure is smaller than others. What I will say is the people that I wanted patching are actually patching on time, and I am happy with that.
What about routers?
Excuse me?
This is Art Mannion from CERT. I could comment there.
Okay.
Sorry, real quickly. As you can imagine, and as Dan and people have pointed out, there are, you know, finding all the right vendors to notify and inform can be tricky. As Dan points out, I will agree that, you know, the core large vendors of major recursive name servers are notified and are patched. We try to cover as best we can everybody. That's why there's a little bit of a longer list, possibly some smaller vendors, and possibly some unknown replies or unknown responses so far. That's it.
Okay. Is this something that people are going to have to address on, like home users would have to address perhaps on their hardware routers, so like wireless routers, things facing the internet, that kind of thing?
Most hardware routers should be fine. There are a few hardware routers out there that may have some issues, but we expect that most hardware routers will be okay, given that their upstream name server is resolving correctly.
Hi, I have a quick question. This is Ali from Circle ID. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is there any concern while the patch is being released to everybody that some hacker might take advantage of this situation and attack someone who's not protected or patched yet?
There is concern, and this is the fundamental balancing act between how do we notify the good guys without bringing on the bad guys. We have done everything in our power, up to and including selecting an obscure fix, to provide the good guys with as much of a nonlinear advantage as possible. The advantage won't last forever. We think, we hope it'll last a month. We are going to ask the open research community, and this is something that I am doing. I am making a personal request to the open research community. A lot of these guys are smart enough to figure out what I've figured out, and I respect that, and I look forward to talking over beers at Black Hat with people. But my request to the open research community is going to be, let's see if we can't get the good guys fixed. And
really,
if figure something out, contact me in a month. You know, contact me over email. I will give you credit at Black Hat as credit is due. But let's try to keep things quiet for now.
That's one of the unique things about that Dan and the vendors. They actually came up with a solution that doesn't necessarily show the bad guys the problems. It's kind of a little known, it's not even really much of a secret that when vendors issue patches, the bad guys have tools to reverse engineer those patches and figure out what the vulnerability is so they can take advantage of that before people patch. Dan and the vendors actually picked a way of fixing this that would not necessarily indicate the source problem, which buys all of us a lot of time to fix our infrastructures while the bad guys are scrambling to try and figure this out.
What kind of worst-case scenario do you think was avoided here? If it hadn't been patched, if word got out, what would be a worst-case scenario for this problem?
Well, you'd have the Internet, but it wouldn't be the Internet you expect. You know, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, the web would, you know, all websites, all
the
banks.
The only way to put this is they can control everything.
And one thing I want to point out, because some people are going to think my firewalls will protect me, my, you know, it's not an open resolver to the Internet. No. If it recurses, patch it. Firewalls are not going to help you here. DNS is a slippery, slippery protocol.
This is Jerry. Just to add to that, I mean, when you think about the misdirection that could be done when this gets taken advantage of, but if you look at just from, you know, wearing my former government hat, the state of, you know, our adversaries, especially other countries building up cyber capabilities and being able to leverage different techniques, especially something like DNS that's widely implemented and widely used, you know, to help make the Internet run, you know, people really got to jump on and take advantage of fixing this. And the beauty of it is with Dan working with the vendors, you know, there's a fix. It's shame on them if they don't want to go apply that fix.
Jerry, what are you doing now? I mean, what's your title now?
I'm currently with a small group called Team Cymry, which is, and I'm director of analysis, so focused on supporting a number of commercial and government customers.
Hey, Dan, I got a series of questions for you. This is Rob Lemos, the security focus.
Okay, Rob.
First of all, on the exploit side of this, is this a fully remote or is it a man-in-the-middle attack?
Remote,
okay. On kind of a historical significance of this, how does this compare to the ASN.1 fix and the SNMP fix?
ASN.1 issues were, I would say the ASN.1 issues are the most reminiscent of this. We did not, unfortunately, get simultaneous patching on those. The ASN.1 history is that in 2000, and I think this is what you're referring to, in 2002 it became clear that pretty much every ASN.1 parser in the world, at least those in the SNMP stacks, was broken. ASN.1 is a complicated language to parse, and people were doing it badly, and a lot of devices were hit. The thing is, however, that at least required something that was listening remotely for ASN.1 traffic. And while a lot of routers were, while a lot of infrastructure devices were, it wasn't the kind of universal thing with the sort of universal dependencies that DNS offers. And that's kind of the thing to point out here. Independently, you know, so you corrupted a cache in a name server. So name server is returning different values than expected. This is not remote code execution. This is not, you know, everything going wild. I mean, there's a reason this is an MSRC important and not an MSRC critical. What is interesting about DNS is that in DNS, so many things take dependencies on the actual values being correct, that it chains very, very well. And so that is what makes this vulnerability different than ASN1 and SNMP. This vulnerability has chaining implications that are significant.
Okay. This also seems to be a pretty good chance of maybe getting some metrics on how fast people patch. Is anyone looking at that as far as you know?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. We'll leave it at that.
All right.
Yes.
A question for Jerry. Have other countries been notified of this, and are they also patching at the same time?
I'd actually have to, since I'm no longer, haven't been at DHS for more than 6 months, I'll have to leave that to Art to answer from CertCC.
All right, Art.
Yes, some other countries have been informed. In some cases, that would be sort of cert-to-cert relationships. In some cases, that would be, you know, multinational vendors that have relationships in, you know, global-sized relationships.
Can you get
word
to the other federal agencies?
I'm sorry. I'm going to go back with the. I'm going to go with the easy question. The full name and title. it's Art Mannion. I'm the Vulnerability Analysis Team Lead, CERT Coordination Center.
Could you spell your name, please?
Yes, M-A-N-I-O-N. And A-R-T was the Art. And I'm sorry. The question about was it what other agencies were involved?
No, I'm just concerned about the lack of communication between agencies like the NSA, the CIA, the FBI.
We work very closely with U.S. CERT and DHS and other U.S. government organizations, and I will answer that there is coordination. There was coordination on this issue among a number of government agencies, and I'll leave it at that.
Could either of you, describe just real briefly the status of fixing this vulnerability at the major ISP level at this time?
I don't have any information really available on that.
So Sandy, are you still on the call?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So Sandy from Nominum. Sandy, why don't you talk to this for a second, then I'll jump in.
Basically, what I'll say, because I'm not a representative of any particular ISP, but Nominum is, as a company, probably supplies 100, 150 different ISPs around the world with DNS caching servers. And for, you know, key customers in our network, you know, we work closely with Dan and ISC and so forth to keep this within the community in the short term. But for some of our most significant customers, we've made a special effort to get them an early release of the capabilities that will help solve this problem, and a number of them have actually finished deployment of it. So it's extremely important, because I think commercial networks are probably even more vulnerable than corporate networks, and getting something out in a timely fashion is really important.
So one thing I'd like to add to that, actually, this is Dan Kaminsky again. Home users do not actually need to wait for their so ISPs, we are hoping, will get on board soon enough. Again, they're part of our let's do everything as possible to give people time to do an orderly tested release. One of the flip sides of DNS being so sensitive is that if you screw up the deployment of a fix, a lot of people get a sudden outage. So, you know, I'm personally very, very aware of the difficulty and importance of getting this right. For home users who want to immediately not be exposed to this vulnerability, one path they can take, there are free and open DNS services available that they can use instead of their own ISPs. Open DNS actually does offer such a service. And it is free.
I would just like to add to what Nominum said, basically that this is standard operating practice. You try to reach out to as much of the big installed base ISPs and corporate networks out there because of the sheer number of users that are affected in each of these networks. And everyone tries to have their own private channels to these special relationship customers to try to prime them as early as possible.
Now, I believe I read something about ISC actually helping customers who can't necessarily get code pushed to use some of your resolvers. Did I read that correctly?
That's correct. Initially for a period of 90 days, which should afford people time to plan and deploy, we are offering that.
I just like to call that out as an absolutely brilliant idea that I hadn't even considered. ISC is basically going to, for customers who can't update bind immediately, they're actually going to handle the load of all of their DNS traffic for them while the change management procedures go through. And that is actually pretty cool.
This is Debbie Gage from the Chronicle. Do you have a list of ISPs other than Comcast who have already patched this problem?
So what I can say is that I don't think it is fair to expect any ISP on day one to have the patch already out. This process is how we're getting ISPs on board along with other corporate customers. So, I mean, I don't want anyone to gotcha an ISP. Everyone's finding out. Unfortunately, the nature of this patch is we wanted to get the vendor side covered and then to have a deployment phase over the next 30 days. So I think anyone who is not patched today or tomorrow or even next week, they're not doing anything wrong. It's very important to get DNS patched correctly and safely, and it's not the sort of thing that should be done on an emergency basis if such a thing can be avoided. And that's what I've been trying to avoid.
But there is some small chance then that a home user would be impacted if their ISP had not patched?
There is a chance. Anything is possible. We've done everything in our power to make that not happen.
Rich, I want to reiterate that this vulnerability is not known in public yet, and the fix will not directly indicate that vulnerability. I mean, that's important to keep in mind. So that risk will increase over time, but the decisions were made to take this approach to absolutely minimize the risk to both businesses and users. And we all now have time, thanks to how they handled this, to go ahead and get those fixes in place. So really, we shouldn't be beating up ISPs if they don't have patches available today, because many didn't even know.
Right, but it does leave the home user in a bit of a difficult position. You tell them to call their ISP, do they end up at a call center in India? Customer service for routine things is not always that good.
This really isn't something that the home users need to be very concerned with yet. Maybe in a month or two it might be more of a problem. They can always go to Dan's website, and then they can also use OpenDNS themselves so that they can minimize their risk.
Right.
So there's a lot of tools available to them. Let's not say that right today home users are instantly exposed and they're going to lose control over their home networks and lose control over the Internet. That's the likelihood of that happening is infinitesimal at this point.
Hey, Dan, I just went to your site and ran your DNS checker, and I haven't applied Microsoft's patches today, but I'm wondering if I had, would it still tell me I'm vulnerable unless my ISP hadn't fixed this yet?
So there are two patches to be aware of. There is the patch that affects the client, and this tool does not tell you anything about the client. It only tests the server, but as far as I know, and in fact, this is in fact the case, Microsoft clients will be covered by Windows Update just automatically.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the server, yes. If you're using Microsoft, if you're using Windows, but your ISP is not updated, you will still be exposed. So that is why this is a very interesting vulnerability, in that it does cross vendor boundaries. It does cross. This is an issue not of individual servers, but of networks as a whole. This is the process. This is, we have a process in place. People should be concerned, but they shouldn't be panicking. As of right now, no one needs to call up their call centers, hands in the air why he isn't detached yet. I think I'll even make that even clearer on the web page. It is simply a way to find, honestly, identify what name server you're using, because that's something sometimes people don't even know.
Dan, Keith Epstein here. If this is as critical as you're saying it is, and if I'm looking at the right thing on the Microsoft, on the Microsoft patches today, it's classified as important, which most IT administrators I think would take to mean you can take your time with it. Should they be taking their time with it?
They should not be taking their time with this. They should actually really prioritize getting this update out. However, I don't disagree with Microsoft's assertion of the important label. Look, DNS is special in that it chains, in that this vulnerability, this class of vulnerability, will connect to other vulnerabilities, will connect to other criticals and make them more serious, more available, more exposed. But that doesn't necessarily make this not important. You know, if you're out there managing your network and saying, I'm only going to deploy criticals and I'm not going to worry about important, I'm not going to worry about moderates, I'm just going to look at the label, you know, that's not enough. You have to look at the context of each and every patch that comes down and say, will this context affect my network? And it happens to be that DNS is a extreme case where, yes, an important in DNS spreads to affect other things, but it's still just an important.
Hey, Dan, a question. This is Rob Lemos again. A question on what's the limiting factor here. Last year at CanSec West, when they had the randomization issue, it seemed that if there was one or two routers out there that weren't fixed, then you still had a problem. In this case, it seems like as long as your DNS server and the authoritative DNS servers above that server are fixed, then you probably don't have a problem. Is that correct?
If you are recursing through a server that is not randomizing ports, you have an issue. That is the bottom line.
So there is no way for the attacker to determine that for you?
The attacker can discover that.
He can discover it, but can he force you to use a certain
version? No, that he cannot.
Version?
He cannot. Okay. He cannot actually force you to use another name server. That is absolutely true.
Okay.
Excuse me, Art. To what degree was this treated as a national security risk?
I can only speak for how we really handled it from a vulnerability coordination point of view. I'm not a government employee directly, and I can't speak about the true sort of national security impacts of it. What Dan just said is very important. You know, don't just look at the important label. This is a critical issue. You don't have to patch necessarily today, but get this into your plan and get it into your testing process and move forward. On the coordination side, again, I can say safely that numbers of agencies in the U.S. government were informed before now, and it was coordinated within the U.S. government and some other governments and as widely across affected vendors as we could make it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'd just like to point out this process has been going on for basically all year, and we did everything in our power to get the information where it needed to be while making it so today could happen. I mean, this is a surprise to a lot of people, and that's how we wanted it.
Dan, I feel like DNS flaws are popping up more and more, or at least I'm hearing about them more and more. I know you do a lot of the work behind that, but what is the chance that something like this, similar to this, could pop up in the future and it not be caught by your lucky find next time?
It could happen. I mean, I'm not going to say that I can find everything in the world. I can say that myself and a lot of others have been scrubbing very, very deeply for this class of bug. The bug scrub went on for quite bugs were found for actually up to very late in the process. We're hopeful. We think we got them, but it could happen.
Hey, this is Jeff
Moss. Can I add to that?
Can someone talk about how DNSSEC, while it will fix some of these problems or classes of problems, that really our infrastructure is not in a position to even, nobody's signing their routes. So while it could be a solution, I don't think we're actually in a position to take advantage of it.
So I, actually, let me comment on DNSSEC, because I actually personally have long, not seen the point of DNSSEC. I have to say this issue has given me some pause. We fixed it very well, but a thorough fix, as ISC has been saying, really would only be done with something like DNSSEC. I think DNSSEC is more of a political issue than it is a technical issue. We know what we need to do, but my God, a lot of people need to agree to do it. I'm not saying this bug is the impetus that is necessary to cause everyone to reevaluate DNSSEC, but we need to at least start thinking about it now. We really do.
Well, this is Jerry. Just to add, you know, on the question about DNSSEC, the government actually has a requirement to roll out DNSSEC, and in pockets of it, they've already started the process. So much like, you know, the IPv6 situation and some of the other types of initiatives that are underway, there is a mandate that agencies have to migrate towards it.
Zhao, did you want to comment?
Earlier I wanted to say that indeed we think that DNSSEC is the end solution to these sort of problems, because it enables you to verify that the data was published by the originator. DNSSEC, as Dan said, has some political issues in what it refers to how the route is signed. And again, we are trying to push these into the field to protect people while the layer 9, the politicians, figure things out with little help here and there, like these DLV mechanisms we are making available, so that people can immediately protect themselves, and if not the whole infrastructure, at least learn, be familiar, get ready. Once they are confident, then deploy it. It can be done today, and it is the solution to this sort of spoofing attacks.
All right.
So,
all right.
Just a quick question. Hi, this is Sean from Internet News. Hi, Nico. If a bind user was already using DNSSEC, then, as I know many ISPs do, are they then vulnerable from this port randomization issue, or do they even need to bother because they're already using DNSSEC and secure?
No, it doesn't work that nicely. DNSSEC only protects you when you're resolving against the DNSSEC protected zone. And right now the infrastructure, and this is what Jeff is pointing out, the infrastructure required for all names to be DNSSEC signed just isn't there. So if you happen to be using a particular zone that has been fairly manually configured to be DNSSEC protected, yes, you might be okay. Unfortunately, this is exceedingly rare at this time.
Having that's true, but I'd like to add, I mean, we are seeing TLDs, top-level domains, already deploying it. We are seeing this .ac, Swedish top-level domain, deploying it. We are seeing the .org, which is one of the big generic TLDs, going through their plans to deploy it. Several other countries, Brazil, Puerto Rico, Bulgaria, have deployed this. If you go past the initial reticences, that people are finding that technologically it's feasible. For the other islands, of course, if you have networks that are self-contained, the case of the U.S. military, as was mentioned earlier, that's a case where you can deploy DNSSEC locally by configuring what are well-known security entry points, trust anchors, as they are called. Why others don't follow? Well, you have to ask them. But certainly, you don't have to wait for the route to be signed in order for DNSSEC to be deployed. I mean, and for the smaller islands out there, ISC has this DLV mechanism, which is also very usable. People are using it to have their own zone secured.
Hey, Dan, just Rob Lemos here. Just a couple of last questions since this is winding down. Do you have an official tally on the number of companies that cooperated or number of organizations that cooperated to do this?
Off the top of my head, I don't. I've lost track, but I can get you a number.
Okay, because I'm just wondering. It was. It seemed to be stated that some of the companies mentioned in the CERT release may not have gotten notification early on in the process. So I'm just, wondering if.
So what I can say is that approximately 16 engineers came to Microsoft on March 31st. We were the core group from all over the place, from Cisco, from Nominum, from ISC, from Microsoft, obviously, from OpenDNS, from NLNet Labs. A lot of 16 people came to Microsoft. We figured out what to do. The key is that there are very few, there are relatively few, actually, ironically, there are about as many DNS implementations as there are web browsers in terms of, actual popular ones. Mm-hmm. And what we have is we have full coverage on the actual name server implementations. All major name servers are patched today. The only thing that's a question is, there are some people who may or may not ship boxes that have DNS servers from other vendors embedded. Like, for example, Red Hat ships bind, Red Hat is patching. Sun ships bind, Sun is patching. Cisco does not ship bind. Cisco ships their own stuff. They're still patching. So that's the sort of stuff that's going on. We have full coverage on name servers. We have increasingly good coverage on people who ship other name servers, and we will over course of time get more and more clients. Microsoft right now is a fixed DNS client. Others will join over time.
And so you've been tracking this, the fixes, and you're going to release that data a later date, metrics basically.
Yes, there will be some definite postmortems here.
Okay. And do you think you've officially taken the title of the man who saved the Internet from Paul Watson?
Oh, God. Everyone on the call, please don't call me that.
Thought I'd throw that in there. All right. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
All right. I think that's it for questions. Thanks, everybody, for your time.